I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger. Oh, can we one more time, a Sunday morning shout unto the Lord? Amen. Open your Bibles with me today to John, the New Testament, chapter 8. We're in a series called Breaking Free. And actually, this Wednesday night will be the final of this series. And Wednesday night, I'll be talking about breaking free from debt. Breaking free from debt. Last Wednesday night, I taught on breaking free from bitterness. Breaking free from bitterness. And God was so wonderful for us because I believe a lot of people, a lot of us got set free of grudges and grief. A lot of us got set free of guilt and bitterness Wednesday night. If you weren't here, I encourage you to get the CD in our bookstore today. Today, I want to talk to you about breaking free from fear. Breaking free from fear. And you know, if you look up fear in Wikipedia, it says that fear is a negative emotion that creates a negative behavior that ends up in self-destruction. Wikipedia says that fear is a negative emotion that results in a negative behavior, because how we feel, we act out, right? If we're afraid and we live in fear, we're going to act it out in fear and torment and panic. Wikipedia says that fear is a negative emotion that results in negative behavior that ends up in self-destruction. We found out in our series that psychologists tell us it's one of the top seven most destructive emotions, fear. We know that fear is a spirit as well, right? It's a spirit. We know that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Why are we talking about breaking free from fear? Because number one, if you're a note taker, fear limits what God can do in your life. Fear limits what God can do in your life. I'll say it one more time. Fear limits what God can do in your life. It's so important that we understand that. It's so important that we get a revelation that you and I do not want to be under or a slave to the spirit of fear. So let's look at it today. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. I hope that's okay in our Bible study. A lot of scripture. And then at the end, I'm going to tag on the end three great ideas, three great takeaways, three principles on how to break free from fear. They tell us that there are 365 types of phobias. Well, you know, the Bible has 365 fear nots. It really does. 365 times, one for every day, keeps fear away. Fear not in the Bible. Amen. Isn't that good? Fear not in the Bible. I love that. So let's look at it today. Let's look at some scripture. John chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you will be free indeed. Who ultimately is the liberator in our life? Jesus Christ, right? Who is the one that can really set us free? A pill can't, a program can't, a plan can't, but what? Jesus can. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, I'm pointing you to Jesus. Every Thursday night, Celebrate Recovery, we're pointing you to Jesus. On the weekend small group series right now, Freedom Series, we're pointing you to Jesus. In the Growth Track series, you'll get free there as well, we're pointing you to Jesus. Because we know that we need him in our life if we're really going to live the life that God created us to live. Amen? He's the only one that can set us free. And whatever he has said has more power than what the crowd has said, the culture has said, and circumstances are saying to you today. Some of us in this room, we're afraid of our future. We're afraid of our future. Some of us are afraid to get old. Some of us are afraid we'll get sick. Some of us have the fear of never having enough. Some of us have the fear of losing our house, losing our car. Some of us are afraid of losing our job. Some of us are afraid of our circumstances. Some of us are afraid of what people think about us. Can I go on with the list? We all deal with some kind of fear. But the good news is we can break free from that fear. Amen? So let's look at some more scripture. Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. Now, if you know the story of Job in the Bible, Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Did you know that? Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And the story of Job having it all, he was the most wealthiest man on the planet, then he lost it all. All of that happened in a 9-month period. Did you know that? All of that happened in a 9-month period. This is what scholars and historians tell us. Job is the oldest book in the Bible, and Job, the situation where he had everything, then he lost everything, that took place in 9 months. So you might be here today and you've lost everything, but you know what? You serve the God of restoration. And he can restore. Amen? And that's good news to know today. So how did he lose everything? What opened the door? What gave the thief, the devil, the devourer a place in his life? How did he open the door, crack the window? How did the devil come in to steal, kill, and destroy all that Job had? He did it through fear. He did it through fear. The King James Version of the Bible, he says, the thing that I feared came upon me. So fear attracts the worst in our life. Fear is a force just like faith is a force. We can't afford to allow fear to stay in our house. Are you listening, family? We cannot afford to allow fear to stay in our house. But listen very carefully. This is Revelation. Fear won't leave on its own. Fear won't leave on its own. So don't live with it. Don't allow it to exist. Don't cohabitate with it. Fear has to be kicked out of your house. Fear has to be kicked out of your life. It won't leave on its own. You can't just think, well, things are going to get better and be passive. If you're passive, it's going to get worse. Am I helping somebody today? And look what it says in the contemporary English version. He said, and my what? Worst fears. Oh, my goodness. And my worst fears have all of them come true. Oh, my goodness. You and I cannot afford to allow fear. Fear I'm going to lose my children. Fear I'm going to lose my health. Fear I'm not going to have enough money. Fear I'm going to lose my car. Fear people won't like me. A fear of stepping out. A fear of taking a risk. You know, we had to take a risk 34 years ago, Kim and I, to come here and plant this church. We had to take the biggest risk in our life to come here and plant this church 34 years ago. We left our family. They love us, but they said, you're crazy. We left our denomination. They loved us. And they said, we'll keep your seat warm because we know you'll be back. You know, we lost all of our hospitalization, our retirement, a weekly check, all of it. When we came here to plant this church, we risked it all. You know what I learned from that? In 45 years of marriage, this year, Kim and I will be married 45 years. Thank you. Pray for us. Pray for us. But in 45 years of marriage, every great thing that happened in our life took a risk. Every great thing took a risk. I'm talking about, you know, where you leaped into a whole new level. Where you leap into a whole new level. Somebody said you got to do what you've never done to go where you've never been. Every great thing where we broke through a level and went to the next level, it always took a risk. It always took a risk. We had to overcome fear and step out in faith. Some of you are afraid of the uncomfortable. Some of you are afraid of the unknown. Some of you are afraid of your future. But the good news is you can break free from all of that through and in Jesus Christ today. Isn't that good news today? So he said, the thing, my worst fears, all of them came true. Next verse, verse 26. I have no peace. I have no rest. So What does fear do? It robs you of peace. It robs you of peace. Can't sleep at night. Can't think straight. Now listen very carefully. When we're dominated by fear, we always make the wrong choices. When we're dominated by fear, we always make the wrong decisions. So he said, I have no peace, I have no rest. So fear robs us of peace, robs us of rest, and robs you of joy. Did y'all hear that? How does God lead you? Through peace, through rest, and through joy. Did you know that? That, you know, God doesn't speak to us audibly. Very few people does God speak to us audibly, but God speaks inwardly. Inwardly. And you know that God's talking to you when you have rest, when you have peace, and when you have joy. When Kim and I came here 34 years ago and we left everything familiar, all of our security, our retirement, our hospital package, our weekly check, our denomination, our family, our hometown, we grew, when we left all of that, we had peace. We had joy and we had rest. Even though in the natural it looked crazy, but you know what? If you're going to live by faith, you're going to do things that's going to take a risk to step out and have God's very best. Are you with me, family? All right, so notice that when fear is dominating your life, you have no peace, no rest, and no joy. So how can you be led by God when you're in fear? You can't. If you're not led by God, then you can't make God decisions. You can't make God decisions if you're not being led by God. Am I helping anybody today? So your future is worth kicking fear out of your house. Your family is worth kicking fear out of your house. Some of you are afraid you're not going to recover. Some of you are afraid that your best days are behind you. Some of you think that all your opportunities have passed you by. Some of you think that you'll never, Pastor, you talked about increase, but it'll never happen to me. In fact, lack, and I'm losing it, and I'm struggling, and I'll never get ahead. You know, my best days of my career were behind me. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Your best days are in front of you, but what are you going to do with it? Come on, let's give God a Sunday morning praise. Are you with me? So now what I want to do is I want to take you to a story in the Old Testament of the children of Israel who came out of Egypt, and God wanted to take them into the promised land, but they didn't make it. And in this story, you're going to see what stopped them was fear. But you're going to see that God says, I have an open door before you. God's telling them, now see if we can relate to this. Your best days are ahead. Your biggest opportunities are ahead. The greatest favor, success, and breakthrough, happiness, and joy in your life is ahead of you. And they're standing at the threshold of an open door of opportunity. But what happens? Fear keeps them out. Now, what you're going to see in this story, look for it, that where there's fear, there's depression. When fear reigns, depression comes with fear. Know any depressed people today? They're depressed because they're living in fear. The root of the depression is fear. So notice in this story, now you look for it, be intentional. You're going to see fear, you're going to see depression, and you're going to see rebellion. Rebellion. They won't obey God. They would rather go back and be a slave in Egypt than step out and take a risk and enjoy the freedom of God in the promised land. So you're going to see with fear comes depression, comes rebellion, and then number three. Now you look for it in the story. And then let's evaluate the people that we're listening to, the people that we're hanging with, the people that we're associating with, and let's look for these things because fear just won't leave your life. You can't be passive. You have to drive it out of your life. So with fear in this story is going to come, I forgot, number one, depression. Aren't you glad you have a pastor who gives you a test and the answers? Number two was rebellion. And number three is negativity. Negativity. Now think about this, family. I'm getting ready to do a series next month on how to deal with difficult people. You wanted it, you asked for it, and I'm going to give it to you. Okay? How to deal with difficult people all next month. But think about this now. Think about the people that you work with. Think about the people that you're around. And just think about it. You know, boy, Pastor, there's more negativity around me than ever before. People are more negative, more critical, more cynical, more sarcastic. They're in rebellion. They want to fight everything. They want to resist everything. They're hard to lead. They're hard to get along with. They always want to cause strife. Think about it. Pastor, people around me, they're so moody. I never know what they're going to be like from day to day. They're up and they're down and they're in and they're out. Now, what is the root of all of that? Fear, right? Fear. Now, the Bible says in the last day, now put the dots together. The Bible says in the last day, people's hearts are going to fail them. They're going to have heart attacks everywhere. What? For fear. There's a spirit of fear that's been released on the earth in the dispensation we're in that's only going to intensify. It's only going to get worse. That's why you have a pastor who loves you. On a Sunday morning, I'm teaching you how to break free from fear, because fear's only going to grow in our society. It's only going to get worse. It's not going to lessen. It's going to be stronger. And with fear, the people you work with and live next to, you're going to see greater negativity. You're going to see greater depression. You're going to see greater rebellion than ever before, because the root of all that is fear. You with me, family? Okay, so let's look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let's go to Deuteronomy 1 verse 21. Y'all still with me? What's the first word? Look. Wow, God wants you to look. God wants you to have a vision. God wants you to have a vision. Do you have a vision today? Tell me, do you? Do you have a godly dream? Do you have a picture of your future? If you do, it should inspire you. Well, Pastor, my wife had to force me to come to church today. Well, I'm so glad she did. You owe her a good Sunday. Take her out to lunch, dinner. Amen. Because you know what? Hopefully today you'll catch the idea of your future and you'll get inspired. Nothing great ever happens without inspiration. Nothing great ever happens without inspiration. Nothing in our life ever happens without inspiration. Are you inspired? Are you excited about getting up in the morning? Are you excited about going through the day? Are you excited about the coming week? Are you excited about summer more than just vacation? Are you excited about the fall? Are you inspired? If you're not inspired, you'll never accomplish anything great. It takes inspiration to do the impossible. Two words, letter I. That's a good one-liner. Takes inspiration to do the impossible. And look what he says. Look, God has placed in front of you an open door. Look, God has placed in front of you the promised land. Look, God has placed in front of you a new job, a new car, a better house, better health, better mind, better emotions, better family, better marriage, better. A better day, better joy, better peace, better rest, better relationships. Yeah, better significance, better meaning, better life. He's placed it in front of you. Do you see it? Look for it. That's what he's saying. Look, God has placed in front of you the promised land. Go and sit and eat Doritos and watch reruns. No, go and occupy it as the Lord God, the God of your ancestors, promised to you. Everybody say, promise to you. There are 7,000 promises in this book. It has been promised to you. You are to possess it. But you'll never possess it till you conquer fear. You'll never possess it till you break free of fear, of the unknown, of the unfamiliar. You'll never break free and possess what God has for you. He said you got to have inspiration. You got to look. You got to have a dream. You got to have a vision. You got to think big. And then he said, because God promised to you. And then what does he say? Don't be what? Afraid. Wow, there it is. What holds us back from the next level? What holds us back from that open door, that opportunity? What holds us back from a better level, a new level? What holds us back, according to the Bible? Fear. And then look, what comes with fear? Don't be afraid. And then what does he say? Don't be What is that? Depression. Heaviness. Depression. So what follows fear? Didn't I tell you that earlier? What follows fear? Depression. The root of depression is fear. Fear of taking a step. Fear of change. Oh, especially if you're getting older, you don't want to change. You're afraid to change. You don't like change. You resist change. You're going to die early. You do not want to die early. You want to adjust to the right changes. Notice I said the right changes. You want to adjust to the right changes. Okay? So he said, don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. Let's jump to verse 26. Verse 26. He said, but you rebelled. God said, I had an open door before you, the promised land, a place you've never been, the best in front of you, a golden opportunity, a breakthrough idea, a breakthrough relationship, a breakthrough revelation. But what does he say? You got afraid, you got depressed, and now you rebelled. Y'all see that? Rebellion. What do we see in the earth? The spirit of rebellion. What does that come from? The spirit of fear. So he said, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you refused to go in. How dumb and dumber can you be? And you refused to go in. Next verse, verse 27. You complained. Oh my goodness. It starts out with a root of fear, and with it comes depression. With it comes what? Rebellion. With it comes negativity. And with it comes complaining. People who are complainers all the time, I like what Joyce Meyer says, if you complain, you remain. It's true, isn't it? Complainers don't get raises. Complainers don't get ahead. Complainers get labeled as losers. Complaining is the excuses. It's the language of a non-achiever. Complaining is the language of a non-achiever. Complaining is the language of a non-achiever. And notice, they're complaining. What's keeping them out? Complaining. What's keeping them out? Negativity. What's keeping them out? Rebellion. What's keeping them out? Depression. What's keeping them out? Fear. But the good news is we can break free from fear. And we can go in and possess the promises. All you young people, dream big. All you older people, dream bigger. Amen. All right? So he says, you complained in your tents and you said, the Lord must hate us. What is that? Self-pity. Self-pity. Look what comes with fear, family. Self-pity. The only one who wants to come to a pity party is me. Come on, somebody. Feeling sorry for myself keeps me stuck. Feeling sorry for myself because I'm white or I'm black or I'm brown or I'm young or I'm old or I'm educated or non-educated. Feeling sorry for myself only keeps me stuck. It only holds me hostage. Nobody really cares about me feeling sorry for myself. Amen? So notice what comes with fear on the list. Self-pity. He said, you said the Lord must hate us. That's why he brought us out here from Egypt. They want to go back and be a slave. They want to live with fear. They want to keep making those pyramids. They want to live under bondage. Isn't that crazy? Rather than step out and take a risk. Step out and overcome fear. Drive fear out of your life. It won't leave on its own. Okay? So he said, they said, we want to go back. We want to be slaves. Next verse, verse 28. Where can we go? Our brothers demoralized us with their report. What's that? Blaming. Blaming. But also, I want you to see something. Fear is contagious. Mom and dad, what you say is jumping off on your kids. Mom and dad, you think they're not listening. They're listening. And what you're saying is jumping off on your kids. And your kids need security more than anything else. And talking what you're worrying about, what you're afraid of, will cause your kids to be dysfunctional all their life. So notice that fear is contagious. So we need to evaluate who we're running with, who are we listening to, what are we looking at? I'm giving you 4 points. And what are you saying? What are you saying all week long? Who are you running with? What are you looking at? The news? And what are you listening to? Who are you listening to? 4 points. How to conquer fear. That was free right there. Don't take that my preaching time, okay? That was just free. They tell us the people of the land are taller. Now watch this. Fear, a characteristic of fear. Fear is not only afraid of circumstances, but fear is afraid of challenges. And fear is afraid of other people. They're talking about, oh, did you see how big those people were? The Anakites, the Canaanites, did you see how big? What are they? Afraid of people. Did you see the walled cities? What is that? They're afraid of circumstances. They're too big for us. What is that? Challenges. People who are in fear never want to change, never want to accept a challenge. They want a problem-free life. They want a problem-free life. And family, there is no such thing as a problem-free life. And you and I need problems in our life because that's how we develop our character, and that's how we release our potential, and that's how we're promoted, is by the problems we solve. Oh, we need to give God a Sunday morning praise. Come on, give him a Sunday morning praise. Am I helping anybody today? All right, line upon line. They tell us the people in the land are taller, more powerful than we are. And their towns are so large, and the walls are so big. And did you see the giants? Verse 29. But I said to you, don't be shocked. Don't be afraid of them. There's a fear not for every day of your life. Right? 365 fear nots in the Bible. Next verse. The Lord your God, he's going ahead of you. Oh, praise the Lord. Get our eyes off our circumstances. Get our eyes off our challenges. Get our eyes off of people. Get our eyes off the obstacle and get our eyes on God. That's an antidote for fear. The Lord your God is going ahead of you. He will, don't you love this? He's gone ahead this week for you. He's gone ahead for you. And he said he'll fight for you just as you saw him do it in Egypt. What's he saying? Don't you remember what God did for you? You can kill fear. You can drive fear out of your house by just bringing up a blessing list. Oh, the God who helped me with the lion, helped me with the bear, is going to help me with you, Goliath. Goliath, you aren't even in the covenant. You're an uncircumcised Philistine. I'm in the covenant family. Who do you think you are? Oh, my goodness. What are we saying? Next verse, verse 31. And you saw how the Lord your God cared for you all along the way as you traveled through the wilderness. Have you forgotten what he did for you last week, last month, last year? Have you forgotten God's track record? Yeah, I've been looking at people's track record. That's the problem. Get your eyes off people and get your eyes on the Lord. Have you forgotten you travel through the wilderness just as the father cares for his child? And he has brought you to this what? He has brought you to this place. God has brought you to this place today. Everybody in this room, everybody watching on television, everybody around the world, God has brought you to this place today. And what are you going to do with the now? What are you going to do with the now? Are you talking more about yesterday? Are you afraid of your future? God has brought you to the brink. God has brought you to the threshold. God has laid before you the promised land, Canaan land, something big. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to step through with faith, or are you going to allow fear to hold you back? Next verse, verse 32. He says, but even after all he did, you refused to trust the Lord your God. You've refused to step through with faith, and you decided to stay in fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. As the team comes out, look what it says. For God has not given us the what? Spirit of fear. Now, Wikipedia says it's a negative emotion that creates a negative behavior that brings destruction into your life. The Bible says it's actually a spirit. How many know that we're in a spiritual warfare, we're in a fight, and fear won't leave on its own? Say that with me. Fear won't leave on its own. We got to drive it out, right, church? We got to drive it out. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but what? Of power and of love and of a what? Say sound mind. Say sound mind. Say sound mind. The word sound is discipline. So notice he's given you a spirit of power to control your mind. You and I can control our mind. We've been given the spirit of power, the Holy Spirit, to control our thought life. I just can't help myself. Oh, yes, you can. If you lean on the Holy Spirit, if you lean into the Holy Spirit, if you surrender to the Holy Spirit, If you yield to the Holy Spirit, if you pray in the Holy Spirit, He'll edify you, right? And notice, you and I have been given the power to control our thought life. And fear starts with a thought. Fear starts with a wrong thought. Fear starts there. So why don't we take care of depression, rebellion, negativity? Why don't we take care of complaining? Why don't we get break free of all of that by going to the root and breaking free of fear? Why don't we replace fear thoughts with faith thoughts? There it is. Why don't we replace fear thoughts with faith thoughts? Y'all with me, family? Isn't the Holy Spirit good to us today? He's the teacher. So notice that He says, you and I have the power to control our mind. Say it with me. My mind is my mind. Doesn't belong to anybody else. So don't give other people space in your mind. Don't give negative experiences space in your mind. Don't give those offenses space in your mind. Don't give the devil space in your mind. Areas in our thought life that are idling, the devil will fill them with hurt and pain and fear. We can't afford to have a mind that's unfilled. John Maxwell says, a filled mind will produce a fulfilled life. A filled mind will produce a fulfilled life. Am I helping anybody today? Now, let me give you 3 points, real quick, takeaways. Let me give you 3 points, the takeaways on how to break free from fear. Are you ready for it? Now, it's worked for me, and so I want to share it with you. A blue light special. Is that cool? Okay. Number one, so remember, we are to control our thought life. It's who you're listening to, what are you looking at, who you're running with, and what are you saying. You begin to change your thought life with your words. With your words. You take a thought with a word. Are you with me, family? Woo! I feel like a Jericho march. You take a thought with a word. In other words, you capture a thought with a word. Okay, you with me? So if you and I want to break free of fear, we got to start watching what we're saying in front of our kids and our friends and our neighbors and our brothers and sisters, right? So here it is. Number one is I need to say every day throughout the day for the rest of our life, God is for me. Romans 8:31, and folks, we have it on our windows, don't we? God is for you. We have it in our billboard on 70, don't we? God is for you. We have it in all of our literatures. We have it in our mission statement. We're leading people to a God who's for them. So you want to conquer fear, you have to begin to say and declare, God is for me. If God be for me, who can dare be against me? Now, if you'll study that out in Romans chapter 8, now listen very carefully, all you Bible scholars, the greatest Bible scholars on the planet today say their favorite chapter in the Bible is Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The greatest Bible scholars on the planet today say if they were on an island and they were in isolation and they could only have one chapter, it'd be Romans chapter 8. You need to familiarize yourself with Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, it tells you all the things that God did for you. God saved you, God called you, God predestinated you, God planned you, God glorified you. And then it comes up to verse 31 and it says, what should we say knowing all these wonderful things? What should we say getting inspired and inspiration of finding out who we are in God? We should say, if God be for us, people, challenges, circumstances, the crowd, the culture can't stop us. If God be for us. Number two, the second thought is that God loves me. God loves me. The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. Remember, fear won't leave on its own. You have to drive it out. How you do that? By getting a revelation of God's love for you. You know what? Because I love my children so much and my grandchildren so much, I don't want anything bad happening to them. I'm going to do everything in my power that they're protected and they're provided for. Well, if I'm going to do that, how much more? Your Heavenly Father will protect you and provide for you. Amen? So God is for me. Number two, God loves me. And number three, God has a plan for my life. Jeremiah 29:11, it says God has a plan for your life and there's no harm in it. It'll give you a future and success and it's bright. So you and I every day need to live with the thought, God has opportunities lying before me. What am I going to do with them? God has brought me to this place. It's my choice. Live in fear or step out in faith. Live in negativity, rebellion, depression, complaining, murmuring, blaming, or step out in faith. It's up to us. I double dog dare you to break free from fear.